So, we're gathered together to talk about what mere mortal citizens around the world who constitute civil society can do about preserving the world for our children and our grandchildren. And that's what brings me to this table. This is not a husband and wife show. I just thought that you might want to know that part of my history started at the Aldermaston March with Peggy Duff, and I've been marching ever since. How many of you were in New York on June 12, 1982 for the big anti-nuclear demonstration? Bravo, you got an early start, Mr. Mayor. Well, that was a pretty important moment in anti-nuclear history. And I'll just explain a tiny bit about what happened as a result of some of the history that we heard today of the physicians coming together with the lawyers and the people. I like to refer to the International Peace Bureau as the people when we talk about the IPPNW, the doctors, and the IALANA, the lawyers, and IPB. Those three major international networks of civil society mobilized public opinion to support the World Court case at The Hague in 1995. And it was because of that experience of mobilizing public opinion, gathering millions of signatures, and getting press for this case, that we came together in October of 1996 with the World Federalist Movement. So we had four major international civil society organizations. We sat around a small table and said to each other that if the United Nations was not going to hold the last summit of the last decade of the last century, which it was supposed to hold, on the question of peace, that we, mere mortal citizens who have never done a summit in our lives and history, would do it. And there was born the Hague Appeal for Peace, which you might know a little bit about, and we had a rather extraordinary conference in The Hague in May of 99. And from that meeting, a number of things happened, one of which was the development of a global campaign for peace education, which we continue to do, to carry out, and the Hague Agenda for Peace and Justice for the 21st Century, which is a 50-point program for getting from a culture of violence to a culture of peace. And speaking of 50 points and numbers, I thought it might be of interest for this group to consider, aside from going to the World Court or in conjunction with going to the World Court, to consider the 60 recommendations of the Blix Commission, to publish them, to reproduce them, to go out and teach about them, to keep that Blix Commission report on weapons of mass destruction alive and not let it die the death of the Canberra Commission, and just use those 60 recommendations wherever we go, with mayors, with local governments, with national governments, with organizations. Those 60 recommendations need to be implemented. And that would be one of my recommendations, if you make any recommendations today. So let's remember our dear friend Joe Rotblat, who believed that in the nuclear age, the human race has become an endangered species. And he went on to say, and I'm only saying, quoting him, because it sounds like quoting myself sometimes. I believe it too. I believe we must seek to abolish war itself and seek a world in which morality, law, and mutual respect govern the relations between nations, and that no nation uses military power to impose its will on others. He said that in Hiroshima in July of 2005, just shortly before his death. And I think with that quote, I can introduce us all to someone whose name you know very well. How many of you have met or heard Mayor Akiba before? Bravo. You're in among friends. So you can be frank.
Okay.
So, Mayor Akiba, the mayor of Hiroshima, the floor is yours.
Well, thank you very much for your introduction and brief history of people's struggle toward peace and nuclear-free world, Cora. It's actually, I would like to, you know, first of all, would like to thank all the organizers and sponsoring organizations. But before that, I just would like to mention that listening to Cora reminded me of my kind of sort of following her footsteps. In 1958, when Aldemar Stone March started, I was in Japan. And so for the longest time, the name Aldemar Stone stood in my mind for the people's wish to rid the world of nuclear weapons. Right. And I think for the first time this year, I stood at the gate. And I realized that, it is not only the symbol for your struggle, our struggle, but it is a facility where hundreds and thousands of nuclear weapons have been created. And I shuddered. And I had only one question at the gate, which is, when will this facility be turned over to a facility where nuclear warheads would be dismantled, fissile materials would be degraded, and so that all nuclear weapons would be abolished by the year 2020. And I was in New York, as Cora said, I was in The Hague in 1999, and all of those important meetings where I received a gigantic amount of energy from everybody really is making Hiroshima really committed even further, you know, to the common cause of creating a world peace. So I'd like to thank you, Cora, and all of you. But let me go down the list of organizers whom I'd like to thank. George Fairbrother, World Court Project, Hans Lamerant of Bomb Spotting. I'd like to thank you for organizing this wonderful conference. And also I'd like to thank the sponsoring organizations, Ram McCoy, President of International Physicians for the Prevention of Nuclear War, Cora Weiss, again, President of the International Peace Bureau, and Judge Vera Mantri, President of International Association of Lawyers Against Nuclear Arms, and many friends such as Kate Deuce, Jackie Cabasso, Gisela Kallenbach, and Caroline Lucas. Well, the last two women really secure this place for us in the European Parliament, and I would like to especially thank them, you know, for their efforts as well. But anyway, thank you very much. I truly feel I am among my friends. And so let me start by thinking about Hiroshima, again, back to 1945. But at the same time, when we think of Hiroshima, we think of what happened. But actually, in the 80s, we thought about many cities being the victims of nuclear, you know, weapons. And at the time, the thought in my mind of Hiroshima being destroyed by a second nuclear attack was so horrible to contemplate. The thought of Nagasaki being struck again is truly sickening. But the good people of Hiroshima and Nagasaki, especially the survivors of 1945, Hibakusha, cannot endure the thought of your city being destroyed either. I think I can quite safely assume that you share the simple desire. However, I would like to dare ask you, and among you, especially young people, to imagine what would happen if a nuclear weapon should be used against your city. There are two reasons why I'm asking you to do this exercise. One is that 61 years after the atomic bombings of Hiroshima and Nagasaki, this may be the only way that young people might understand the horrors of nuclear war realistically. The other is, as a result, for you to understand that obliterating a city, entire city, is a crime against humanity. By any measure, the use of nuclear weapons within lethal proximity of a city is a war crime. Cities are by definition filled with civilian populations, many of them children and elderly people. Every civilized person can agree, thou shalt not kill children. Nuclear weapons not only kill children, in the thousands or tens or hundreds of thousands or even millions, they irradiate fetuses and thus cause microcephaly, crippling or life-threatening deformities or stillbirths. They are the most infernal invention ever to come from the mind of man. Any use of nuclear weapons which exposes civilians on a massive scale to blast, fire, and or radiation is a war crime. It follows, as the ICJ made clear 10 years ago, that the threat to do so is also illegal. Couching the threat of use in conditional language does not exonerate it from this prohibition. Cities are not targets. They should not be, must not be targets, period. Full stop. While we can clearly hope that terrorists take heed of this message, that somehow in their heart of hearts their cruelty knows some limit, we can surely expect our governments to respect this stricture. I repeat, cities are not targets. The other day I spoke at the Peace Palace. I used the occasion to formally launch the second phase of the 2020 Vision Campaign of Mayors for Peace. The first phase of our campaign injected our 2020 vision into the international diplomatic debate on nuclear weapons, reviving the vision of a nuclear weapon-free world, instilling hope that it can be achieved by the year 2020. But the international community was unable to make use of the excellent opportunity afforded by the 2005 NPT Review Conference to begin realizing the goal. After making the best faith effort possible with the support of citizens and leaders alike, we regrettably had to conclude that good faith was lacking in certain quarters. We thus are calling the second phase of our 2020 vision campaign the Good Faith Challenge. We are asking every person, without exception, to practice good faith and to challenge others to do likewise. Briefly, there are two main arenas in which good faith is absolutely and sorely needed. In the diplomatic arena, the obstruction of negotiations of all aspects of nuclear disarmament must cease immediately. negotiations must be conducted in a spirit of compromise and respect. Agreed measures must be brought into force rapidly and implemented scrupulously. It is ironic that the first nuclear arms control measures agreed upon after the ICJ ruling, the Comprehensive Test Ban Treaty, has still not entered into force. Your government has signed it. Well, some of your governments have signed it and ratified it, but one state has declared that it does not intend to ratify, even though it was the first to sign. And so the treaty languishes in limbo. And I don't have to mention which country, you know, it is. Unfortunately, a fairly long list of such counts could be leveled against the United States, but they are by no means the only violator, just the biggest. The other arena in which good faith must prevail is in the reliance upon nuclear weapons by nations or alliances. If nations are working in good faith to eliminate nuclear weapons and end their reliance upon them, then they should not be making long-term investments in nuclear weapon systems, and they should be curtailing the threat of use of nuclear weapons. Where we find contrary trends, we must object. We must challenge these misdirected funds and misconceived policies and label them for what they are: indications of bad faith. NATO will hold a summit later this year on transforming the alliance. I will give you one simple criterion for judging whether or not there is anything to this transformation. Has NATO found the capacity to foresee the end of alliance and reliance upon nuclear weapons? Today it cannot. You know, however, we led a delegation to NAT headquarters yesterday and talked with these NATO people. And we pressed to them, we presented to them that we are launching this good faith campaign. And also another important pillar of our activities for the coming years, which was formally announced in the City Hall of The Hague a few days ago. And we are calling this another pillar of our activities as the Cities Are Not Targets campaign. The acronym is CANT. Over the coming years, our Mayors for Peace will coordinate local, national, and international efforts to uphold the proposition that the use of nuclear weapons in lethal proximity to cities must be explicitly ruled out by all nuclear armed states. First, a disclaimer. Do not make the faulty deduction that we have no problem with nuclear weapons being used beyond lethal range of cities, or for that matter, the non-nuclear destruction of cities does not concern us. We are against any and all use of nuclear weapons anywhere, and we are against war. We are not looking for more humane warfare in line with our 2020 vision. We are aiming to challenge the very foundations of nuclear policy as inherited from the Cold War and as elaborated upon today in some cities. At the national level, the U.S. Conference of Mayors has stolen the march on us. At the initiative of our North American Vice President, Mayor Don Pluskalik of Akron, Ohio, and with the support of, among others, our colleague, Mayor Tom O'Grady of nearby North Olmsted, the U.S. Conference of Mayors adopted the resolution enshrining the Cities Are Not Targets principle. We aim in the coming year or two to have national mayors associations in country after country adopt similar resolutions. Locally, we will be encouraging sister cities to support across borders each other's demand to be ruled out as targets. And internationally, we are prepared to take it to the United Nations and, if necessary, to the International Court of Justice. We will not rest until the utter wrongness of using nuclear weapons against cities has been accepted universally. Cities are rising in mutiny against being held hostage to mutually assured destruction. That madness must stop. nor will we rest until nuclear weapons are eliminated. A great test of democracy lies ahead when the great majority of people in every nation through the cities of the world are saying change has got to come. Our governments will have a choice to make. Do they arbitrarily say, too bad, but we cannot do anything about nuclear weapons? Or do they acknowledge that their policies have been rejected and must change? Your engagement in this issue will be the decisive factor. Together, we will succeed. At the Peace Palace, I noted the common roots of the word city, citizen, civilian, and civilization. In such an august setting, I resisted the temptation to coin a new word, but with your permission, I would like to offer it up to you now. Civicide. Civicide is the murder of a city and potentially civilization itself. Nuclear weapons have been invented, have been used, and have proliferated with the intent of committing civicide. Let us all accept the challenge of prohibiting civicide and eliminating the means of committing it. As the U.S. Conference of Mayors declared in 2004 and reiterated in the recent resolution, weapons of mass destruction have no place in a civilized world. And finally, do we really have hope that by 2020 we can eliminate nuclear weapons? We'll all have to make a good to honest effort toward that. But I would like to quote a Hibakusha telling me the following phrase. The 2020 vision campaign is all very, very good. But the only problem with that is that it's 2020. You have to make it happen sooner because my life may not last that long. And I would like to answer to that Hibakusha, yes, we have made it sooner than 2020 as you requested. And for that, I hope that all of us will get our forces together. Thank you very much.